Shut it, camera, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP, 888-729-9494 to enter the conversation about Harper Machado. Also, as we've been talking about with Nick Foles and the franchise tag designations, exclusive franchise player or the non-exclusive franchise player. For more perspective on this, let's welcome in here as he is joining us in studio today. Usually over the phone, but in studio, of course, from 94WIP, writes for the website, Mr. Elliot Shore Parks. What's going on, Elliot?
The benefit of being in the studio is me and you just had a nice Marcus Mariota debate
at the break.
And if I was over the phone, that wouldn't happen. So the drive-in is always worth it.
Yeah, we were talking about storylines in Philadelphia sports that seem to go on and on and on. And because of Harper and Machado, you know, Elliot walked in here and said, oh, Harper and Machado today. I said, yeah, nothing's changed. We're still talking about it. And we were talking about how, obviously, as a town, you know, a couple years ago, we were all talking about should the Eagles go in there and get Marcus Mariota for Chip and all that. And in the end, they did not. And I believe in the end, they obviously made the right decision not going all in on Mariota. But, you know, we'll never know how Chip's, you know, I think it would not have changed anything. I think Chip would have crashed and burned because that's what was coming anyway. But I'm glad, you know, Mariota's a very average starting quarterback and Carson Wentz is certainly better. All right, Elliot, Nick Foles, franchise tags. You got the exclusive franchise player. You got the non-exclusive franchise player. Which do you think they will choose or neither? Just walk us through your understanding of the situation as of now.
Right. So which one they will choose? Now, I would be surprised if they actually used a franchise tag on Foles just because, look, at the end of the day, I know we're in the same camp. I know you disagree, Richie. I would franchise tag him. But the Eagles have to commit that $25 million to a backup quarterback. Mm. I would be very surprised. And honestly, when you look at the market, I don't know if Foles is going to get over $25 million, so he would sign that, I think, if they tagged him. And then they would be stuck with him. That franchise tag is 100% guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Now, what they could do is, and to what you brought up, Joe, the non-exclusive tag, that Foles could talk to the other teams, the Eagles could match any deal, but if they decided not to, they would get two first-round picks in exchange. Now, I would be very surprised if a team was willing to give up two first-round picks for Foles, but that's another option they could go.
And just to be clear, it is the team's picks. It's not compensatory picks, right?
It is the team's
Jacksonville
picks.
Would have to say, here are two of our first-round picks to you, Philadelphia, right?
Correct.
And that's just not going to happen.
I would think
it's
not.
It's not going to happen.
Because on top of giving up the two picks, you also then are paying Foles, right? So it's not like you're getting Foles at a cheap deal for two ones, which even then wouldn't be a great deal. But you're then paying Foles on top of giving him the two first. I mean,
that's just impossible.
No, that's not going to happen.
There's no way.
There's no way that's happening.
I think the last time that one was used was Von Miller, and even then it didn't happen. And Von Miller, look, I mean, I know he's not a quarterback, but he's certainly a more valuable player than Nick Foles. So I would be very surprised if that one was used. The third one, though, is the transition tag. And what they could do with that is Foles can negotiate with other teams. The Eagles can match, but if they don't decide to match, that team doesn't give up anything in compensation. And it's only top 10 money if Foles were to sign it. So you're talking about saving maybe $4 or $5 million there if you're the Eagles. So that could be a possibility. But look, it really comes down to how much the Eagles actually value Foles. I mean, they're $16 million over the cap right now. They'll be about $5 million once Foles' option comes off. So the cap space will be difficult. But if they really value him, they have three options basically to keep him.
So $16 million over right now. All the reports that I've seen say that the Jags and the Eagles are the two teams in the red.
Right.
And those are the two teams. You know, that's the team that a lot of people are talking Nick Foles could end up in. What does Howie need to do? What do you expect is about to happen here over the next couple of weeks to get us at least in the black?
So the $16 million over number is a little twisted because that's per overthecap.com. It does a great job tracking this stuff. They still have Foles' $21 million option on the books because it hasn't officially come off yet. So once that comes off, they'll be $5 million under. So they'll have $5 million to spend. Now, but if we're talking about the franchise tag, you then need to free up an additional $20 million to have room for Foles. So you know, once Foles comes off, obviously that'll impact things. But look, the four main guys here that I look at, Jason Peters, Tim Jernigan, Chris Long, and Nelson Aguilar. You do something with those guys, and you're at about $30 million in money right there.
Something in Aguilar's case would be
It would be a restructure or a trade. Yeah, because he's at $9.3 million this year with none of it guaranteed. They can cut him at any point. So he has incentive to get some guaranteed money in that deal for renegotiation. Or the Eagles, if they want, have incentive to trade him a year early as opposed to potentially losing him next year.
Okay. And are we all in agreement that Jason Peters is not willing to renegotiate at any point
I'm not in agreement with
that. Have things changed enough to where his, you know, performance would cause him to rethink his hard stance that he's taken over the last few seasons?
If you're Jason Peters and the Eagles come to you and say, we'll either cut you or renegotiate, like, are you calling their bluff on that? Because the Eagles need Jason Peters more than people want to admit. And the reason they do is because they've done a poor job really adding young offensive tackles through the draft. I mean, Jordan Mailata is a project.
I love Jordan Mailata.
I do too, but are you really comfortable with him being your week one starter? After one training?
I don't know either,
but I know this. If I'm the Eagles, it's either game one of 2019 or game one of 2020.
Yeah, it's a big difference, though.
No, it is a difference, but I mean, the whole idea of that it's not a physical matter, it's a mental matter of him knowing where the blitz has come from. Like, after 300 and, well, at that point, it'll be about 450 days in their program. He's drafted in April of 2018. He doesn't have to play a game until September of 2019. I mean, I would hope in 400, I mean, John, you would know this trillion times better than me.
I feel like he can be ready.
In 450 days of preparing to know where a blitz is coming from, I mean, it's either 450 days or it's 700 days.
I know the level of work that he's put in. We've watched the extra work that he gets before every single practice. I think he can be ready.
Yeah.
So I think I believe people underestimate how good the guy's going to be and how close to being ready he is right now. Now, that does not make me comfortable saying, yeah, I think he's a slam dunk for this season.
Right. Well, that's my thing. I mean, you look and you see top 10 rookies that come in their first game once they actually start playing, can't handle it. So I agree with you. I think, like, first of all, the dude is a physical specimen. Like, seeing him in person at practice every day, he has the physical tools to do it. And I think he has the coach. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he has the coach and Jeff Statlin to get him there.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is you have no idea what he'll do once the lights come on and the game starts.
Right.
And so if I'm Jason Peters, I'm saying, you know what? $10.5 million for starting left tackle is actually not bad for around the league. I stayed healthy at the end of the year. You don't really have a great backup option. Cut me or don't, but I'm not taking a pay cut.
Right, if I'm the Eagles, I'm cutting him then.
And you're going with then?
That's my gut.
I'll figure it out.
Because I feel strongly about Mailata. Listen, Big V has been much better when he's had an entire week of practice and getting, you know, experience during, you know, with the ones in practice. I'm in line to cut him. What about some of these names that are being bandied about, like Gerald McCoy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even reasonable to assume that we could try to make that work?
Look, people are speculating the Buccaneers might cut him because of their transition from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Here's what I would say. If Gerald McCoy hits a free agency market, I would be stunned if the Eagles didn't show a ton of interest. And I think it would be a match made in heaven for both teams. For McCoy, he gets to come play next to Fletcher Cox. He just saw in Los Angeles what happened with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. So I think he would love to come here. One thing Howie is phenomenal at is working the cap. I think he could make it work. And Howie loves investing in the line. So if Gerald McCoy became a free agent, I think it would be a match made in heaven.
Now, Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Joe DeCamer, John Ritchie.
We've got Mark Ingram set to be a free agent.
Yep.
Do the Eagles, for the first time in I don't know how long, actually pay big money, relatively speaking, for a running back?
They probably haven't signed a running back since Ricky Waters, right? I mean, they drafted...
Well, DeMarco Murray.
Oh, right.
I mean, it didn't work out, but that was big money.
No, you're right. No, you're right. Money. No, DeMarco, you're exactly right.
To me, the bigger thing is the last time they took a running back in the first two rounds was LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Think how long ago that was.
2009.
Outside of that, I mean, that's almost 10 years. So I think this will be the year where you potentially would see that. They have two picks in the second round and obviously their first round pick. The benefit of signing Mark Ingram would be you're then also taking him from the Saints, who you could argue is your top competition in the NFC next year. So I would certainly consider that if I were the Eagles. But if you're going to pay money to a running back, I would just go after Le'Veon Bell at that point. I think he's a far better player than Mark Ingram. He's a far better in the passing game. So that's the way I would go. I would either go after Le'Veon or I would draft one of these elite young prospects in the, in the draft.
Elliot, last week there was a tweet from Golden Tate. John and I talked about it briefly last week. Adam Schefter tweeted, the Falcons signed former Cowboys linebacker Bruce Carter to a one-year extension. Golden Tate jumped in there and said, and I'm just reading right from his Twitter, he said, oh, so you don't have to wait until March to sign extensions. Interesting. Good to know. Is your sense, I mean, John and I believe that was, Golden Tate expressing frustration. We don't really know. We're just speculating. But is that, I mean, that seems pretty clear. That's a frustration tweet, right?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to do is to speculate on what these tweets mean from athletes. And they always mean something. Whenever a tweet like that comes up, it never ends up being a coincidence, right? Uh-huh. So if you read that, to me, it sounds like he would rather get a deal done now. The Eagles are saying, let's see what the free agency market sees.
Bingo.
And, you know, and he probably doesn't want to do that, right? I mean, I think that's the clear thing.
That's so, what I think it is.
So does that speak to the notion that the Eagles value him a lot less than, you know, even a guy like Nelson Agholor?
Well, I think it would speak to they value him less than what he values himself at, right? Because to
right.
me, the other takeaway from that is it sounds like Golden Tate would want to come back.
Right.
Which I didn't think was a slam dunk when you consider how he was using the offense, the production he had. So if he wants to come back, and this tweet seems to imply that, and the Eagles are saying, let's see what the free agency market says, then maybe, you know, the Eagles aren't as invested as they used
to. See, I don't know if it really indicates that he wants to come
back. Oh, I think it does.
Now, listen, we know Golden Tate, he's a pretty sharp guy.
Extremely sharp. Yeah.
We, if you really want to come back to a team, do you put them on blast on Twitter with something like this? I mean, in a way, I looked at it like he's securing the idea that he's not going to be back by being so forth. You
Look,
know,
they
forward
may have told
like
him we're
this.
Going with Agholor. I mean, and, you know, they may have been upfront with him and said, "Listen, we're just going to be honest with you. We're choosing Nelson Agholor. We're not going to have both of you. So just know, you know, just prepare yourself for March."
Yeah,
I would agree. It's not productive by him.
But, no question.
But it might be past the point where he knows, look, like, I'm going to be a free agent on March 11th or whatever.
Right.
And so he sends
that
out to let him know.
Elliot, back to the Foles thing. Just I want to get a little understanding here. It matters for them to trade him before free agency begins. For their cap purposes, correct?
So they can't trade him before free agency begins. They have to wait for the new league year. Now, what they can do is, and this is why next week at the NFL Combine is huge, what they can do is they can kind of, you know, shop him and talk with teams and get a deal basically struck, not officially.
So it's like the Flacco thing.
It's exactly like the Flacco thing.
So why was Alex Smith allowed to be traded during the NFL playoffs last year?
I don't think he was officially traded during the playoffs. Because if I remember correctly,
maybe not then.
I was on Radio Row and Kirk Cousins, I remember, was there, and like no one, or Alex Smith was there, and nobody could talk about it officially.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I have to go back and look, but I know you're not allowed to. I mean, remember Nick Foles was actually traded by the Eagles to the Rams the first minute of free agency back in 2013.
Okay.
Like, they didn't strike that deal within 30 seconds of the deal. They had been talking about it.
All right, Elliot, good stuff. Everyone follow Elliot's work as always. 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Elliot, some timelines here. Free agency in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, March 11th, Eagles can start talking, and March 13th, they can start to sign players.
This thing gets real soon. I think it's going to be a very interesting Eagles offseason. I really do.
It's a huge one. It's going to shape their franchise for years, the decisions they make. When you look at where the holes are at,
totally.
The players have to decide. The other big date, March 5th, is the last day they can franchise Foles. So that will be the day we will know going in whether or not he's going to be a free agent or whether they're going to try to franchise.
And your answer to what they'll do is which?
My guess is they do not end up placing the tag on him.
None of the tags.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Just because I think the cap space is too much. But again, I would just be surprised.
Gotcha.
If they do, it's only because Howie knows he's got a deal lined up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. Elliot, thanks, bud.
No problem.
Talk Appreciate
to you guys
it. Elliot Shore Parks again. Website 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Check out Elliot's work.